Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Only on BBS Talk Radio.
We're on the couch already? Oh, it's Friday morning. What am I thinking? Good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Michelle. And welcome to On the Couch. It's that time again where we all get together and talk about stuff going on from a psychological point of view or whatever you'd like. Of course, I am the so-called relationship expert here at the station. I say so-called because I try to help people with their issues, psychologically speaking, whatever. And today what we're going to be talking about are celebrities in the spotlight who have issues, those who don't. And we have a special guest in the studio with us today. He is an author, and I'll get you warmed up to him in just a little bit. We'll talk about him. His name is John Corcoran. You may have heard of him. You may have seen him. He's been in television for many years all over the country. And he's also an author, published, and he's going to share with us information about his book. But first, let me tell you this, folks. If you'd like to call into the show, you may do so and express your opinion. The number is 818-602-4498. We'd love to hear from you. And you can ask questions with my guest, to my guest, John Corcoran, and myself, Dr. Michelle. Anything you'd like. We're open, aren't we? We're in a good place right now. We can talk about anything, but let me just make this very clear to you. Something I must establish at the top of every show. We do not have a therapeutic relationship, folks. No. I am not your shrink, and I'm not giving you advice. We're just giving information. Talk radio. BBS Talk Radio. That's us. And that's what we do, is we talk about anything you'd like. But this is On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. So come on down. Have a seat. Enjoy. And I want to welcome my guest to today's show, John Corcoran. And John, how you doing?
Yes. If I may, and who would stop me? I don't think you will.
No.
I'd just like to state, first of all, yes, I'm very, very impressed with your couch.
Oh, thank you.
It looks like it's what? Imitation Naga hide.
Yes, it is.
Which means no Nagas were slaughtered.
Indeed.
To make the couch. And
that's
think that's a good thing. It's a lovely couch.
We're
and
a green office.
Thrilled to be here.
Thank you.
Very
so
comfy
nice
also.
Good. I'm so glad.
Can I give advice? You can't give relationship. You can't give therapeutic advice. Can I?
I'd love you to.
Sure.
Okay. Would you do that?
If anybody asks, I can answer.
That's great.
I am totally unqualified to give an answer, but I will.
Love it.
Never stopped me before. How are you?
I'm great.
You look familiar. Have we worked before
I think
together
we have.
In television,
I think,
or
we
radio
have.
Or something? I know
we
you
used
look vaguely
to.
Familiar.
I think so.
I can't recall exactly, but it seems to me sometime in the not-too-distant past.
Yes, possibly
we worked
so.
In television together.
I think so.
Well, this is great. This is exciting, and I love the couch.
Good. I'm glad to have you here. Feel free to lay down if you'd like. It's no problem, no issues. You know, just relax and enjoy.
If I doze off, just poke me.
Okay.
You wouldn't be the
with
first.
With this coffee I gave you this morning, I
thank
don't
you.
Know.
Thank you. Not going to happen.
Off,
strong
baby.
Coffee. I like that.
You got some major espresso going on.
All right.
By the way, John Corcoran
yeah.
has won 7 Emmys.
7. Count them, 7.
You got them on your mantle?
I have them on my car, on the hood of my car. They're mounted on my car. Looking really nice.
He's won 7 Emmys.
Everywhere I go.
Whether you're needed or not. Yeah. During a career as a television entertainment reporter.
That's true.
Also, you've been a critic.
I have been.
And you're very critical sometimes.
I can't be
trust
terribly.
Me, folks.
I can be awfully critical.
And, of course, in Washington, D.C., he was in Boston, of course, Hollywood.
I couldn't keep a job anywhere. They kept firing me. I kept moving.
I don't think that's
moving
true.
Target.
No, I think it was your
no?
choice.
Really? Oh, okay.
Come on. Well,
I'll keep thinking that. That's fine. I like that. Sure.
It's always good to say.
You're wonderfully
I had better options.
Yes, I did.
That's right.
They went in a different direction. I wasn't invited, so I went in another direction myself and had a great time.
You're always going up, baby.
I hope so.
John, by the way, is an author, a playwright.
Oh, yeah.
His book, which I have read. And I'm looking
you're
at
you're the one.
Yeah, I'm the one. That's right. You signed it for me, actually. Thank
I did
you
indeed,
for
yes.
signing it.
Mm.
The book's called A Few Marbles Left,
yeah.
which is so appropriate for On the Couch with Dr. Michelle.
You know me, obviously, because I have very few marbles left
indeed,
at this point in life.
But you know what? You're one of the most intelligent people I know and the funniest.
What do you
too.
Mean by that?
And he's defensive, too, folks.
No. Oh, she's a
which
psychologist, so how am I ever going to defend myself?
He has unresolved issues.
Oh, do
and
I
that's
ever.
Really why I have
that's
you
why
here
I
today.
Like this couch. It's a very
right.
comfortable couch.
Good.
Real Nagas.
Nagas.
Not fake Nagas. They're real Nagas.
Let's get back to your book, shall
please
we?
Please do.
A few
not a moment too soon.
Okay.
Have we lost our audience yet? Anybody out
hello?
There?
Hello?
Okay.
A Few Marbles Left,
yeah.
the book.
It is.
looks at TV news.
Mm-hmm.
And also you describe your experiences doing movie junkets, which I love. I love these stories you have about these people you've met.
I have a number of stories about movie junkets I went on. Do people know what junkets are? No, I'll tell them what movie junkets are.
Okay.
A certain number of people who are film critics, as we call them, or film critics and such, are invited by the movie studios to go to a city where they bring in movie stars who have a movie they're promoting.
Ah.
You sit down with the movie stars. You interview them.
Yes.
You then take the videotape if you're in television, the audio tape if you're in radio,
right.
or your notes if you're in print,
right,
and
right.
Or your computer if you're in computers, and you then promote the movie. And the idea of it is that you get to go to one place. The stars only have to go to one city.
Yes.
And they don't have to go all over the country to do this.
Like,
and
then like just across the street. You were telling me you were
We did the Bonaventure. Yeah, the St. Bonaventure. Yep. St. Bonaventure.
Yep.
It used to be a saint. He's been demoted, I believe.
Yeah,
too. Staff Sergeant Bonaventure.
That's right.
And I did an interview there with some people. And New York's a big city for that.
Yep.
Orlando, of course, for Disney movies sometimes.
Right.
And all
right,
around
right,
the
right.
country and occasionally the world. And that's
cool.
where we used to go, and that's where I interviewed many stars.
How fun. So that's a junket.
That's a junket, and that's what your junkets are.
Right.
And the idea is, and there is some question about it. Some people will say, hey, should you be doing this? Should you be accepting the largesse of the studio to go do the interviews? And my theory is, who cares?
That's
I
right.
don't care.
I love your attitude.
That's my attitude.
That's because you're healthy.
Yeah,
no,
well,
you really are. You have nice...
Yeah, that's true.
You have good boundaries.
I never worried about it. And my theory was, fortunately, working in large cities, as I did, is they sort of kind of needed me. So my theory was, if I liked the movie and I want to review it favorably, I do so. If I didn't, I'd tell them, or I wouldn't review it, or whatever.
Lucky.
I was there to do the stars.
You have chutzpah. A lot of people would just say, I got to kiss butt so I can keep this job and do what I can do.
And some people do. And who could blame them? Because junkets are fun, and it's a free ride somewhere.
That's true.
They're not. The golden age of junkets is over. I came in a little late. The original golden age was where you went one movie, one weekend, first-class ticket.
Right.
And you could bring a significant other with you and have a great time.
There you go.
Then it got to be a little more crowded.
Budgets tightened up a little
bit. And they decided to make it a little more difficult. And now, with aviation travel being as hard as it is and the retraction of the industry and stuff, it's not as much fun as it used to be. So it's just as good to be out of it. I don't do it anymore, folks.
Well, you're a famed author and playwright, too,
as
well.
That's right. Thank you.
You know, the public's always fascinated with celebrities and newsmakers. They're constantly in our face, right?
Well, they should be.
The paparazzi. They've gone wild,
of
course.
Nuts. They're crazy.
They're photographing folks in their worst moments.
Absolutely. As well they should. Somebody needs to.
Exactly. Entertainment networks, TV shows are all about celebrity gossip. What are they saying? What are they doing? How wonderful they are, etc.
Oh, yeah, and they'll tell you. If you ask a celebrity how wonderful they are, they'll usually tell you. Very few will not.
And we know that most celebrities... I'm getting somewhere with all this.
Oh, I knew you were going somewhere.
Most celebrities have to put on their public face.
Yeah.
Or as Carl Jung would call it, psychiatrically speaking.
Whoa.
The persona. That's the Latin word for mask. And I learned that in school. But that's the mask that the old Greek and Roman actors used to put on when they do their thing. Yes.
Oh, yes. You're smarter than I am. I realize
Not
that
really.
Now. Yeah, I think so.
No. It's the front we present to others because social living makes demands for certain kinds of behavior. And society establishes certain expectations and roles about how we have to shape our public selves and behind which we hide our real selves. And the cool thing about your job is that you got to see all these celebrities. And you really, on one-on-one interviews, you got to see behind the mask in a lot of situations.
Well, sometimes they kept the damn mask on, which was difficult because they would not kind of protect it, particularly if they were new at it.
Yeah.
But you say a lot of them were one-on-one, but a lot of them were not one-on-one. For example, and here he comes with an anecdote right at the beginning. For the movie, this is an ancient movie called Caddyshack, which I'm sure a lot of people remember. Wonderful picture.
Right, right.
And they had that in New York.
Right.
Fine film. They had it in New York at Dangerfield's Comedy Club. Rodney Dangerfield, great comedian. Was
right.
Rodney was in it, and Bill Murray, Chevy Chase.
Right.
And, of course, the lovely and talented Ted Knight. The late Ted Knight was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah.
And the four stars. Well, we thought we were going to do one-on-one interviews. Turned out, one-on-four interviews.
Oh, okay.
So you had to do all four at once for 5 minutes. But fortunately, right before it was my turn, they took a little break.
Yes.
So I said to the boys, I said, guys, I want to do a thing here. Would you play along? And then most of them were comedy. They're all
comedy
oriented, so they played along.
Right, right.
So I said, okay, we thought this was going to be one, and when it's rolling, I said, we thought this was going to be a one-on-one interview. It's one-on-four, but we're all professional. We shouldn't have any problem with this. So tell me, what was the key to understanding the character you played in this movie?
Right.
And then all four of them talked for about 2 minutes. And they got it, right. And it worked, and it was fine.
Oh, that's good.
But that's cool. If it is one-on-one, fine, but sometimes they don't like to do that, or you got too many people want to do the interview, so it's one-on-several.
Interesting. All right. Let's just get right to it, because I've been waiting to get to this question, because you've met a lot of celebrities who have issues, seemingly, and are difficult, very difficult.
Yeah.
Who are some of the most difficult celebrities who you've had to interview?
Well, I think you got to start with, and again, my information may be a little out of date. So he might have gotten a little therapy. He might have had some people talk to him. He might have gotten straightened out.
Hmm.
One of my favorite actors and one of the most gifted actors in this country, Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay.
Wonderful talent.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get any better than Tommy Lee Jones. I don't
think Academy Award winner, right?
Ever given him a negative review.
That's right.
Doesn't like to do it, doesn't like media, doesn't like himself. I don't know what it is, but he tended to be a little, what's the word? Nasty.
Oh.
Could be nasty. And one day, I remember one day, we'd put up with it because we had to interview him because he was a star. And one day, he was just particularly nasty. And it turned out they started rolling the camera before the interview actually started. So
yes.
I was asking him about his cold because he was coughing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "What cold?" or something like that.
Yeah.
And just was not
something
being friendly
yeah.
about it. And finally, the interview started, and it was okay. And then I just said, the heck with it, and I put it on the air.
Right.
I showed him being nasty.
Good.
And a lot of the other critics said, good job, John. Good
right.
to do that. And his then-publicist, I don't know if he has the same one, said, you know, I'm working on him. I'm trying to get him to be better. But, but that was it. And others are just shy. For example, the actor was in the Back to the Future series, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, sure.
Loved to talk to him. As far as I know, nobody's ever interviewed him because he is painfully shy.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, that's the antithesis of the so-called, and he was a wonderful actor. He still is a wonderful actor.
Yeah, very, very talented.
Out there.
I think he may have to put on a character to do that, but he just didn't, to my knowledge, and I knew some people who'd worked with him, and they said, yeah, just shy, didn't like to do it.
Interesting.
So there's a fellow that, you know, maybe doesn't need it because he's worked, he's made
a
small fortune and very talented, but... You know, I don't know what his issues are.
Right.
And then there are others who work through it, who maybe they're not that good at doing junket interviews, not that good at doing interviews.
Right.
And then as they get used to it, they get to be better.
Right.
And then there are stars who you may think are great stars.
Would
and
be
they must
really
be
good.
Fascinating to talk to.
Right.
Robert De Niro. Who wouldn't want to talk to Robert De Niro?
Oh, come on.
Bobby De Niro, for God's sake.
He seems like he'd be a fabulous...
Boring.
Are you
boring
serious?
Man. A very boring man. In interviews, he may be at a party or in a personal relationship the most fascinating guy on earth. Interview, not so interesting.
Just kind of sat there and was dull.
Well,
didn't
he tried.
Yeah.
He tried, but he said, tell us about your character. What do you want to know? That sort of thing.
Wow.
And, you know, you're intimidated by him, too.
Right.
Because he's like
of course.
Break your neck if he wants to.
Right, exactly.
Because he's Robert
De Niro. It's Robert
De Niro,
of course.
Yeah.
So what do you think that's – you think it's the same kind of thing, is that he needs a character to go through, to channel through maybe, because his real self is just kind of a average kind of guy?
You tell me, doctor.
Well, no, I don't know.
I don't know. The only thing I can assume is that some of these people maybe – are just not that interesting, but are gifted as actors.
Yeah.
And I'm not calling any one of them an idiot savant or anything like that, but perhaps their gift is the ability to take on a persona. Ooh, wow, that was deep.
Take on
a persona, persona, and somehow or other just act through that. And if they don't have lines, can't do it. So
that's
I don't
right.
know. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I don't know what their story is.
Now, I was reading, you interviewed Harrison Ford as well.
Yes, several times.
Actually. You said that was those interviews were a little tough. Huh?
They were difficult at first. Again, Harrison Ford was a guy who I don't think enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
as it turned out, as luck would have it, the assignment editor at the station I worked at had one of them was married to his son, the chef.
Okay.
So she was she would tell me little things to ask him about
Perfect.
And stuff like that. So
it's nice
later,
to have an inside track.
It
sometimes.
Was. And
yeah.
I'd say, hey, I'm, I work with so-and-so. Oh, great. And so he'd give it his best. But,
right. So he loosened up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he was pretty tough to pull.
Difficult
like
at first.
Teeth,
difficult at first.
In.
And
yeah.
I think he's a guy who got better as it went along.
Of course, the great comedy actor, comedian, stand-up talk show host, Steve Allen. You said he was... sort of...
idolize Steve Allen. Yeah. I idolize Steve Allen.
Yeah.
Now, again, people probably hear my voice saying, was he 20, 21, something like that?
Right.
No, a little older than that. Steve Allen was the David Letterman of his generation.
Right.
And in fact, David Letterman credits Steve Allen with a lot of his, a lot of the things he learned. And learned from him and had him on the show when he was alive. But Steve Allen, I could not wait to interview him and meet him. And when I met him, I was scared to death. I did a lousy job.
Interesting.
A terrible interview, and it was all my fault. And after a couple of times, I got to interview him a few more times. And once I relaxed, then it was a delight to talk to him. Brilliant man, and you can't get a lot done in a few minutes with him.
No, that's true.
But
exactly.
You learned after a while.
Exactly. Now, I was also reading about you interviewed Tom Hanks. Now, you were kind of sick. You have kind of a story about that, right? You were not feeling very well.
Yeah, I've interviewed him several times.
Yeah.
But and again, he is the guy you see on screen, the guy you see in movies, that's pretty much Tom Hanks.
Okay.
He is a nice guy.
Yes.
He is at least, he'd actually come back and hang around sometimes with us.
Cool.
Working stiffs. He wandered into the wrong room, but still, he didn't run out in terror. So I'll give him credit for that.
Right.
And I had for Forrest Gump, which was, of course, he won the Academy Award for. I saw that, and in the middle of Forrest Gump, I started getting the flu. I mean, I was so sick.
Yeah.
I got home, and you didn't want to be around me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to do the interview the next day, and
right.
I was barely coherent.
Aww.
So I didn't remember the movie. I didn't remember much of the interview.
Yeah.
But I guess he didn't get ill from it, so he didn't, because they didn't send any henchmen after to hurt me.
Oh, that's good. I'm so glad.
But nice man.
But he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talented,
so he was easy
gifted.
He was
gifted man.
Oh, he's amazing. He's just amazing. And
he's producing the new series, the John Adams series.
He sure
right
is.
Now.
That's a great series, by
it is.
The way. Are
it's
you watching
very
that?
Very good. Yes, absolutely.
Speaking about new, let's talk about somebody who's got a movie coming out today, as a matter of fact. George Clooney?
That would be the George Clooney man.
Yeah.
Clooney man.
He's
absolutely.
Got the Leatherheads movie coming
got
out.
Got the
right?
Leatherheads movie. As we speak, it is in a theater near you. Or if somebody's downloading this months from now, it's available on DVD.
That's
please
right.
get it at your nearest DVD store or order it online.
And the reason why I bring that up is because you, in your book and in our conversations, have talked about George Clooney being one of the coolest, most well-balanced kind of guys, celebrities out there to interview, just to know.
I don't think that's a big shock to anybody who's seen him or met him. The
yeah.
guy is Mr. Cool. It's the kind of guy you wish you went to high school with and you still knew. But
yeah.
The first time I interviewed him, he was nobody. I mean, Rosemary Clooney was an old singer, and it was his nephew. He's her nephew. No, she's his nephew. That would be backwards. And he was in a movie called From Dusk Till Dawn, Quentin Tarantino, which I saw and I hated.
Oh, yeah.
Quite frankly.
One of those
very violent.
Real violent ones, yeah.
Very, very violent movie. And I didn't know George Clooney from Adam. It was before he was famous.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
watch him on ER. I didn't know him. But I'm ready to tear into the guy because he's in this ultra-violent movie. And what the heck you doing in a violent movie like that, George?
Yeah.
So I said, George, there's a scene in this movie where a guy, you're in a gunfight, and the guy gets on fire, and he's burning to death, and you jump up with your submachine gun, and you mow the guy down. What kind of ultra-violent stuff is that for the kids? He looked at me, and he gave me kind of a little smile, and he said, well, I kind of put him out of his misery, didn't I? I had to laugh.
And that's perfect.
How can you not like the guy?
No, exactly.
And it turned out he's just a terrific, terrific guy. Another time I interviewed him, I was wearing a pin of an old World War II bomber that my father happened to fly in World War II. And,
yeah.
and he is credited with the highest peacetime dunnage ever dropped on Germany. No, that's an old joke. But he did fly the plane in World War II and later in air rescue. But peacetime. That was
had to be there.
So you, yeah. But anyway, I've got this little lapel thing of a B-17 in there, and Clooney comes in. He looks at my lapel and he says, B-17? How do you know from B-17s? I said, how do you know from B-17s? He says, my uncle flew them.
Wow.
So
very cool.
Out, yeah. And we had a nice chat about bombers. And if you're listening, George, I got a movie idea for you.
Yeah. A bomber movie.
B-17 bomber movie.
Yes.
You get to fly one. They'll let you fly them, George.
That's right. Okay, and if you'd like to call in George or anybody for that matter, you can do so 818-602-4498.
George listen to the show a lot?
Sure he does.
I bet he does.
Sure he does. And this is BBS Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle. We're on the couch here with my guest, author, news entertainment critic, very famous guy, John Corcoran. He's won 7 Emmys.
Yeah.
And there's more to come. I wouldn't doubt it.
I would be very surprised, but thank you for offering.
But anyway, we're checking... We're checking out and we're looking at his book.
I'm very proud.
Yes.
I was in a movie. I was
Which one?
In a movie.
Tell
I was
me.
In a movie. It was called Burn, Hollywood Burn.
This, oh, you know what? Sounds like a Quentin Tarantino film.
It isn't.
Oh.
Amazingly enough, it's a Joe Esterhaus movie. It was so bad.
Oh.
It was so bad that the director took his name off of it. The subtitle is an Alan Smithy film, which is the name directors use when they take their name off of it.
Okay.
And it actually was an Alan Smithy film.
Hmm.
I had one line in it, and
yes.
I have to tell you, in all honesty,
yes.
This is great. It got a Golden Raspberry Award as worst movie of the year.
I would be proud of that.
I am. And I wrote the Golden Raspberry as soon as I heard. I wrote the associate. I said, listen, can you somehow acknowledge that I was in? And they wrote me and they sent me a certificate.
Beautiful.
It is proudly framed on the wall of my office.
Beautiful.
Next
you should
to my
download that.
Seven Emmys.
Thank you. You should download that for your website.
I should. I will try to do that.
Go
if
ahead
I
say
knew
that
how to
again.
Work a fax.
Seven
Emmys.
I'm very impressed. So what role did you play?
I was myself. I played myself.
A newscaster.
You can look up on IMDb.
An anchorman.
I had a half a line.
Well,
I forget what the line was, but it was marvelous. And
that's exciting.
Yeah.
So people will. Do people know what a golden raspberry is out there?
Probably not. But
okay,
I'll tell them.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of an Oscar.
Yeah, it's the worst
movies of the year
ever made.
And
yeah.
It's an organization. God love them. And here in Hollywood, and every mm-hmm. year they get together and they honor the worst movies. And this year it won. I was so happy.
That's awesome. That's really good. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
That's
well,
something to be proud
you
of.
You should be proud of me.
Let's get back to the... by the way, let's take a little a moment to tell folks how they can get in contact with you should they want to check out your book, A Few Marbles Left,
well,
Sean
that's,
Corcoran.
That's available, as we like to say, on Remainder Tables Everywhere.
Yes.
Which means it's... You can order it on Amazon.com.
Sure they can.
Or if you'd like to read some of my more current writings, you can go to my pesky Gadabout blog.
Mm-hmm.
Pesky Gadabout. It's at Gadabout Cork. At gadaboutcourt.blogspot.com.
Let's spell that for them, shall
sure.
we?
Gadabout.
one more.
That's why nobody's reading it.
That's right.
Gadabout.
Dot.
Blogspot. Dot. Com. Imagine if you were just tuning in now. And that's my blog.
That. Gadabout. Gadabout. Dot. Blogspot.
Isn't that a nice word? Blogspot.
Yeah. I love that word. That sounds so good.
Blogspot.com,
folks. Yeah, that's John Corcoran's website. One of his many.
Very controversial.
Yeah, it is.
Very controversial. Lots
you,
of humor on there.
You stick it out there, baby. Oh, I'm telling you. You put it out there. You really do.
I risk. I fear no one. I know no one, and I am without
You know
without
what?
Peer.
With seven Emmys, you can do that.
Yeah, but they're local Emmys. Come on. Let's not be too braggadocious here. I put it in perspective. I had a lovely career. I had seven local Emmys. But they were in big cities. I was in New York.
Okay.
Not New York.
There you go.
Washington,
D.C., some credit.
Boston, and here in Hollywood.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
so.
we'll be giving out your website again so folks can call you and say, wow, that was so cool. I want to read your book, and I want to talk to you more about
Dr.
the stars
Michelle,
you've interviewed.
You can't call a website. You gotta
Did
go
I say
the
call?
Yeah. You said they can call me.
Thank you for
they
correcting
They got to go on the computer.
They do have to go on the computer.
This is Nog High. It's Baby Kangaroo. This couch
no,
of yours.
No, it's not.
I think it's
Nog High.
Baby Joe. Is it Nog High? Okay.
Get off it.
Is it fake?
No, not
Naga?
Off the couch. Get off the Naga. It's so Naga High.
So Naga High, yes.
By the way, if you want to get in touch with us here, let me give the number again. 818-602-4498. I'm talking with John Corcoran, author, entertainment, television, news, young rising media heavy and critic. This is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, high atop flower and sixth. And we're having a great time here this morning. Talking about celebrities and how crazy they are.
Some
or
are crazy.
And or how down to earth many of them are.
Many are down to earth.
All of the wonderful interviews that you've experienced and all the great people you've met. And you were talking about George Clooney, of course, being a really cool guy.
He's
said
a cool
he was
guy.
Wonderful.
Very
now
cool.
We were talking also about Arnie, the
governor. Not many people know this, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, before he was governor of the great state of California, had a bit of an acting career. He was in some films.
Really?
Yeah. Before that, I think he lifted weights.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm. And Arnold promoted his movies a lot.
Right.
Arnold loved to promote his movies. Nobody liked to promote the movies more than Arnold.
And was he a fun guy to hang out with?
He was, actually. But you know, not in an intimidating. I mean, he is Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah,
for God's
right.
sakes. Even then, he was Arnold. But living here in Hollywood and doing mm-hmm. interviews in Hollywood, I do a lot of them. And I was the kind of guy, I knew he would promote his movie. You
said,
talk to Arnold 2 seconds in the conversation.
Right.
He's promoting the movie. He didn't want to talk about anything but the movie.
Well, he's a smart businessman.
So one day I go to interview him, and he says, oh, it's this guy I know, this John. He's a guy. He's always accusing me of just trying to promote my movie. I can talk about other things. I said, oh, sure you can. She said, no, I can talk about anything you like.
Like what? My movie.
I said, yeah. Well, yeah. I said, well, okay, let's take him up on it. I said, I noticed a beautiful new Hummer parked downstairs at the hotel. Mm. Would that be yours? I said, yes, that's my Hummer. I said, well, did they give it to you? Did you buy it? I said, well, I'm doing a lot of promoting it. And I drove it here today so I can promote my new movie. And there he was. You got to love it. I mean, the guy's very charming in
person. Right, right.
And who knows what kind of governor he'll eventually make, but, you know. What can I say?
Yeah, I had a chance to meet him. I was interviewing him.
Did you meet
him.
Arnold?
God, this was a long time ago. They were doing the Jane Mansfield story. They were filming that out at a hotel on Wilshire, right nearby.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was a nice guy. Very good interview. Very personable. Very lovely.
Lovely man.
Nice, lovely man.
Lovely
Oh,
man.
You also liked, really, I think you had a secret crush on Sandra Bullock.
Oh,
she's
who
a sex. You wrote sex object here in parentheses.
Did I put sex object in there?
No, you didn't. Actually,
sect
I did. Sex
object.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. That's
no,
right.
No, she's a
occult.
Very
yes.
lovely. Interviewed her for while you were sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Which, kind of a breakthrough movie. She had a couple before that. She played a romantic lead, and that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm,
Bill
mm-hmm.
Pullman was a very nice guy.
Right,
who played the
right.
love interest in that.
Right.
And you know. I like to ask stars when they're on the way up, say,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I have a serious question. Are you going to be as sweet and lovely as you are now when you're a superstar,
mm-hmm,
or will
mm-hmm.
you turn into a rancid, miserable son of a gun? And most of them would laugh it off, or they. She took it seriously. Oh, no, 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 no. My parents raised me right, and yak, yak, yak. But just, it's very endearing kind of a young woman. She's very attractive, obviously.
She is.
And I say that with the greatest respect because she's married to some guy who's with muscles and tattoos. But,
right.
But also charming and very smart. My advice to Sandra would be, do the comedies. You're really good at that.
She is.
Don't just try to do the dramas.
Right.
Because everybody can do drama. Don't let them talk you out of the comedies. That's what you're good at. That's what
she
you're best
is
at.
So good
Although
at
She was great in Crash. She did a dramatic role in Crash. It was
good.
Wonderful
it was
in that.
Great.
But, yeah, no. I did like her very much.
Yeah. The House on the Lake, is that what it was called?
That's another one. Yeah, she played kind of a semi...
Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, Keanu.
Yeah.
Keanu, named after a gambling racket, I guess.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But she's wonderful. And she's
nice person.
She's producing.
Lovely person.
Course.
Producing
she's doing
and
so well.
Very successful.
But she really enjoyed
married
being
married to a guy who makes... what does he do? He's like a tattoo guy.
Yeah.
He's tattooed up. He's tatted up, I know, but it's a lovely romance.
Doesn't mean he's a bad person.
No,
come
of
on.
Course it doesn't. I'm All sure right. he's a wonderful man.
You have Rene Russo is really, well, come on, what are you picking on the hot women for here?
She's a cool lady.
Yeah, she's a cool lady.
She's a cool
she
lady.
Like
and
cool
and
lady.
Everybody, among the junketeers who interviewed her,
yeah.
everybody liked her. Just
yeah,
cool,
yeah.
cool. I mean, you know. Yeah. Sex job, but yeah, sure, yeah, I'd like to jump the bones. But a very, you'd want to go play golf
really
with her, too.
Feel? Exactly.
And she was in the Tin
right,
Cup.
Right, right, exactly. She was great with that. Well, I really like. I, she
was
just seems
Kevin
like a
Costner
really,
and
right.
also Cheech or Chong? Cheech, that's what it was. Chong. No, Cheech.
Kind of get
Cheech.
Those guys.
Cheech Marin. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
There's another guy. You know, the funny thing is, people see these celebrities and you think they're a certain way, and you think, oh. And sometimes, you know, being a parent as I am,
right.
you get all up. You think, oh my God, this guy sort of like promoted marijuana when he was part of Cheech and Chong, and oh, what the? And now he has kids, and I thought, well, I got a chance to interview him. Let me put him
exactly.
on the, put him on the hot spot.
Right,
here.
Right.
A little ask him about it.
Right, right.
Now, what do you do? Do, Mr. Cheech Marin, when your kids come up to you and
yeah,
talk
yeah.
about marijuana and say you were Cheech and Cheech and Chong
That's
and
right.
you were promoting, what do you say to them? I just deny it.
Denial, denial, denial.
But that's if you're ever going to be a celebrity, and I know you have a lot of celebrities in waiting listening to the show, if you're ever going to be a celebrity, just be cool about it. Don't take offense. A lot of people ask dumb questions. Sometimes they're nervous.
Right.
Sometimes the people interviewing stars are just nervous as can be. Because they're amongst the rich and famous.
That's right.
And they get scared. So just
they get scared.
Don't, you know, they ask dumb questions. Don't insult them. Someday they may be famous. And
That's
I can
right.
remember. Yeah, here's another quick story.
Tell me.
When I was in Boston.
Yes.
They brought a guy in to do a morning show.
Uh-huh.
And he and a woman did a morning show.
Right.
And they gave him 6 months before they fired him. It was ridiculous.
yeah,
the guy never
bad.
Had a chance. Never
yeah.
had a chance to build
Not
an
good.
Audience. So I didn't know the guy much, but I felt sorry for him. The guy will probably never be heard of again. That'll be it for the poor guy. That'll be it. He'll be run out of town on a rail. I'm going, now he's packing up his little books and his things. And I said, you know, I'm sorry about this. I don't think it was fair. They didn't give you a chance. I said,
right.
yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, good luck to you. And I hope someday you're successful. And he says, well, thank you very much. And today that man is Bill Kozlowski. No,
God
no,
bless
I can't.
You.
No, he's Matt Lauer of
right,
the Today.
Right,
he became
exactly.
very famous.
That's his
so
real name. Yeah.
I wish the heck I'd been friendly.
Isn't that, that's right. Who you know, baby.
Wanted to kill you to bring me along with you, Matt. I said the nice things to you. You weren't that good in Boston. I'm very nice to you. Did you bring me along with that? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're on the Today Show. Never hear a cork. No. Never bring him back.
That's so funny. Speaking about corks, my guest, folks, John Corcoran.
That would be me.
That's right. And, of course, he's won 7 Emmys.
Really?
Television entertainment reporter, critic in Washington, D.C., Boston, Hollywood, author, playwright. We're looking at his book, which is so appropriate for my show on the couch, A Few Marbles Left, which a lot of folks in the Hollywood area, entertainment field, just are a few marbles left there.
Some of them are a little bit loosely wrapped, as we say.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
One taco short of a combo plate sometimes.
I did an interview once, and this is funny. A fellow named Peter Berg, which not many people know, mm-hmm. but he's turned into a director.
Right.
He's in a couple of movies. This was for The Great White Hype.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Berg, I didn't know from Adam, and I didn't need the interview, and he didn't need me. And it was late in the day, and he was a little loopy. And I walk in, hi, how are you? Fine, good. He says, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. You want to just yell at each other for 5 minutes? He says, that's good for me.
Cool.
And we sat down, and they said, rolling. And I said, what makes you think that you can come in? He says, are you kidding me? You dare ask me a star? And we went like that for about 2 minutes. And
Perfect.
Finally, he says, are we going to do anything serious? I said, yeah, let me ask you a couple questions I might need. But it was hilarious.
Yeah, you
it
got
was so
rolling
much,
on
it.
Did you
fun.
Use it? Did you use it?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, I put it on the air. Yeah.
Perfect. That's the fun stuff. That's the real
stuff.
Those,
when they get like that,
yeah.
The other thing that's really fun, like I said, when you meet people on the way up, when they're just, they don't know, and they don't know what you're going to say, and
right.
they don't know if they can trust you
exactly.
and all that stuff. And you've seen the movie, and if it's really good,
yeah.
and you get to tell them, hey, your movie's really good, and they say, oh, yeah, you're saying that. I said, no, trust me.
Yeah,
Let's talk later today and see what...
Right.
And sure enough, it happens. They'll
right.
say, wow, everybody said that. I said, yeah, the movie's good.
Isn't that funny that they have to, they have to hear it from other people. They can't be, they're too subjective involved. Oh, my God, I was horrible. Oh,
well, you're a psychologist. You may have heard that some of the people in the entertainment business, insecure.
Really?
Some are insecure.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
Fascinating.
They are actually, some of them not me. I'm very secure with my talent, such
uh-huh.
as it is.
And really? Why would you say that, John?
I don't know.
Just sit down on the couch. Go ahead, Larry. And how does that make you feel?
Oh, the caffeine's gone. We need more coffee.
Oh,
in here.
Okay.
Will you have one of your many, many, many handsome interns running around here with
yes,
most of them in loincloths to bring me a cup of coffee?
Yeah, let's get Sam the Cabana Boy in here.
Cabana Boy Sam.
Anyway.
More coffee, Sam. This is quite a studio you have here.
Thank you, darling.
Pictures and
modern
and
art.
Plants.
Look at this view. It's
wonderful
beautiful.
View of downtown Los Angeles.
Exactly. Speaking about...
Big time radio. I like
which,
this.
Thank you. Hmm. Speaking about...
we ought to get a show.
We should. How does that make you feel? They always put that line in every shrink show I've seen, even that In Session thing, that HBO show.
Oh, yeah. I've watched that. Yeah.
That's a great show, by the way.
It is wonderfully done.
Writers are very good.
Excellent acting.
By the way. They have some kind of consultant.
Issues?
No,
oh.
They have a consultant that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because that's, but anyway, they always throw into a movie, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
And I don't think therapists very often use that.
They don't ask that question?
Anymore, no.
No.
Because
they,
we already know how.
What's the go-to question? What's the go-to question a therapist would ask?
Because
I put you on the couch.
All right.
What do you mean by that?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. There you go. And what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
No. There's
get your
so,
hand
there's
off
no
my
real,
thigh. That's another question.
There's no go-to question. It's always you go with the client and you roll with it. But we're talking about
No, we don't want to talk about that.
And your book.
Yeah.
And I was also reading that you have interviewed some fun, lovable stars.
Oh,
who really,
many
they
are very,
present,
very lovable.
They present... In their films and their TV, and they present that way in real life. I don't know if it's their mask, like we talked about earlier. But you were talking about Robin Williams. I mean, you didn't even have to do an interview with him,
no,
right?
Robin
interviewed
is,
himself.
And that has actually happened with him. And
yes.
again, working and living in Hollywood, you interview him a lot.
Right.
And he's the kind of guy that, personally, a fan of comedy as I am, and I love the comedy, and I can get off on tangents with funny people because I really want to know what makes them tick and
right.
what makes them funny and how they came to their genius, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And honest to gosh, you get like 3 to 5 minutes, depending with these
right.
guys. And I've gotten off on tangents with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And 3 minutes are gone. We got 2 minutes left, and there are a minute left in the interview. And he realizes that I don't have any Robin Williams moments. So I don't even have to ask the question. He'll just go off, and he's talking in different languages.
Right,
and
right.
And say, oh, thank you very much for saving my job by doing some real Robin Williams stuff.
Exactly.
But he's a good guy. And I liked the movie he was in called Toys, and nobody else liked.
Why didn't nobody else like that?
I don't know why, but I think I saw it at Christmas, and I was in a Christmassy mood, and I loved it. And it was so bad that even he hated it.
Right.
And afterwards, I said, hi. I would reintroduce myself. I run John Corey. I'm the guy who liked toys. Oh, you're the guy. And he was respect for me. But good man.
I don't think so. No, he sounds like a great guy. And you said one of your coolest interviews was with the late, great George Burns. Oh. You said he was amazing.
Yes, yes. I had a producer of mine. I never know what happened to her, but she was in the business and got me an interview with George Burns. Now, George Burns, for you kids out there, ask Grandpa. Now, George Burns, a legend, show business legend, started in vaudeville. I believe he got to be 100 years old before he died. He wanted to live to be 100, and he wanted to work in Vegas when he was 100. I don't think he ever got to work, but I interviewed him. He was in his 90s at some point, and just tiny little man. He, like most people that age, he shrunk. But a tiny little guy. But what a sweetheart.
With it.
Mind was there.
That's great.
One-on-one interview, and it was in Hollywood, so it wasn't like a junket interview. It was just,
And he
was in there, and he had his longtime, I believe, agent, manager, ghostwriter with him, Irving, someone. And Irving was sitting next to him, and I was asking him a question. He had a book out, How to Be 95 or whatever it was. I don't remember the book. And I said, well, George, it says here at one point, one of the joys of living to be an old age is you get to have two martinis every night. And George says, Irving, is it in the book that I have two martinis every night? And Irving says, yeah, George. He says, I only have one martini. He says, well, I put in two. He says, oh, great. Now I can have a second martini every night. Sweet man.
Funny
nice,
guy.
Very funny
I
man.
Love that.
And then, of course, afterwards, I'm not, you want to be cool.
If
you're this so-called big-time interview, you don't want to go up to people and say, oh, can I have an autograph? Can I do a picture? I didn't care with George Burns. I had my camera with me. I said, the autograph and the picture, I think, couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Just wonderful. Of course, he may have been asleep when I was doing the photographs, but he was very nice.
No, and he did all the, he smoked cigars.
He did the God movies and an old radio show, television show, Burns and
amazing.
Allen. His wife worked for a long time.
Right.
And she got out of the business. And,
right, she did.
As we go, stroll down memory lane. Just ask your grandpa.
Yes, ask your grandpa. I was looking at the ex-member of The View. You also have Rosie O'Donnell here.
A lot of people don't like her, but Rosie
said she was pretty cool in person.
I'll tell you what happened with Rosie. First, she was in the movie with Madonna, The League of Their Own.
Right.
And that was shot out here in L.A.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
at the time I did the interviews, and Madonna was not available for that interview.
No.
But I did interview Rosie, and I had done a story about it with the batting coach for the women in that movie.
Right.
And I brought my son along, who was then playing in, I believe, high school baseball. And he got some batting tips and
thrilled.
Did some hitting. We did it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
So then Rosie, I guess, had seen the story on the air and talked about Andrew, my son, and his batting tips and all this stuff. Now, I understand when she had her TV show, how she knew the lyrics to every show business song ever, and she remembered everybody. She has one of those, as they used to say, a photogenic memory.
Uh-huh.
Photographic memory. She can remember everything. And every time I interviewed her afterwards, she said, how's Andrew? So
you want to get to
somebody's heart, you're asking about their son.
Exactly.
So of course, I'm not going to. And I found her to be she was always very nice.
Right.
I know she had some issues and maybe it was unpleasant at times.
That's right.
But she didn't like Donald Trump, so you got to like her for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go there. I like Donald. I like he's
the Donald,
got a lot of
hits, love his hair.
Yeah, love his hair.
And he may own the building we're in, so at this point.
That's right.
So
that's
if we're
going to
get down in the elevator, we better be nice to
Donald.
Yeah,
you better be nice to old Don. The Donald.
The Donald.
Now, there was a superstar who you were telling me about. This was a little while ago. I remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I mean, they still run some of those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the
yeah.
stations. But there was a star. Oh, there's the music to my ears in the background in Los Angeles. An ambulance and police chase.
They're coming to take us away.
This is the best place for police chases, by the way.
Fantastic.
There was a star who you were writing about who actually wanted you to interview her in bed.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise to
That's
me.
That's where she wanted to do the interview with you.
Well, I don't...
And
I
how did you feel about that, John?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I was worried. The name is Cloris Leachman,
uh-huh.
who is, again, very talented.
Right.
And she was had done a show for PBS. Now, this was back before I was in television. I was writing for a publication called The National Observer, which had a limited budget of money. But they had sprung to fly me all the way from Washington up to New York to interview Cloris Leachman for a PBS show she did. So, oh, my God, I had to do the interview with Cloris Leachman. And if not, I had to walk back. So... I walk in, and her publicist is sitting in her hotel room and said, she's in her bedroom. You can go in. I said, oh, okay.
All righty,
she is in bed. She's lying in bed.
Okay.
tastefully attired, I should point out, in a nightgown.
Nice.
And she sort of taps next to the bed. Lie down here and do the interview.
Love it.
Okay, fine. I'll do the interview. At this point, I don't know. Is she coming on to me? What am I supposed to do here?
Go for it. Enjoy.
No. A happily married man. And I'm thinking at the same time, I got to get the interview first. Anything else we got to do.
That's right.
So the interview was fine. Everything above board. Nothing went on out of the ordinary. Got a good interview and everything.
Good.
I later read another interview she did where she was in the bathtub with a guy. not with a guy, but she was in the bathtub. So I don't know what Cloris's story was, but I think...
sounds like she has some issues.
Might have an issue, but a lovely, charming, funny woman.
Well, she was great. I really like. She is great.
Very talented.
I was reading about Whoopi Goldberg here.
Whoopi,
you said that was a very memorable interview.
For a couple of reasons. This is back. She did a movie with Ted Danson.
Right.
Cheers
I remember
fame.
That. Mm-hmm.
And the word was the two of them were an item.
They were doing the nasty,
apparently. Mm-hmm. But, and the interview was a one-on-two. You got to interview the two of them together.
Right.
This is why, and again, this is a show business tip for people who are listening. Always be nice to the little people. And
right.
By little people, I mean people who surround you. Do not be nasty to anyone because they can help you or make your life miserable.
That's right.
So I'm sitting waiting to do my interview with Whoopi and Ted. And I said, how's it going? He says, well, they've got little signs. And if anybody asks them about their affair, they will hold up a sign saying, next question, it's none of your business.
That's funny.
Terrific tip.
So, of course,
said,
you already
thank
knew
you for
about
the tip.
It.
Well, that's now
right.
I know this.
Right.
I pull out my Sharpie.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the Sharpay. Although I did keep a small dog with me at all times,
yes,
too.
I know.
I pulled out my Sharpie and I wrote, I know, but I had to ask. So I put this in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So near the end of the interview, I got the interview. And I said, oh, listen, I have to ask the question.
Yes.
Are you two an item? Well, Ted and Whoopi hold up their little signs
saying,
next question. And I reach into my notebook. I pull up my sign. I know, but I had to ask. Well, they rolled off the couch laughing.
That's great.
In fact, Ted at one point says, make sure we get a close-up of his sign. We got to do this. It's really great. So
great.
That gave me a little extra something that somebody else didn't have. And,
exactly.
And just because somebody took mercy on me and said, here's a little tip, information that you can use. So
exactly.
That's why it says, always be nice to people.
Besides, now, did they tell you anything? Did they say, yeah, you're right? Or, yeah,
no, they didn't talk
about it. Of course you knew about it.
They didn't talk about it. Yeah, everybody knew that, and they didn't want to talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So they gave you. But
at least I had something I could use.
And they laughed, and they enjoyed
and
it.
Laughed,
they loosened them up a little
bit.
I mean, that's the thing about humor.
Exactly.
You know, that's what you can do.
And I was sent
of,
in occasionally because
sure.
I was kind of loosey-goosey guy. They would send me in early in the day sometimes to get the people rolling and laughing and scratching. So
right. See?
Because I wasn't looking for serious heavy gossip, and I wasn't looking for heavy interviews. I like to do stuff that could be fun. And
that's how you
like
are.
A talk show.
No, you're a
that's
funny guy.
That's the way you are, baby.
That's
the way I roll.
I know. You get people loosened up just like me, a little bit, laughing and feeling good. And
laughing and scratching.
You know, opening themselves up to a lot of, you know, behind the mask. They'll talk about all their...
Is this a goose down pillow here on the couch with Michelle?
No.
No.
Right. No. No. We did not harm any animals in the making of our couch.
This is nice to know. It's a real couch. A lot of people think it's, you know, she's got the fancy name on the couch with Dr. Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
No. She's got a couch here. She makes you lie on it. She sits
on a large... I don't make people lie on it.
No, you encourage
it's their choice.
Encourage it.
Makes them feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of a psychoanalytic kind of thing, but I don't do that.
And so. I think you get the truth out of me. There are things I wasn't going to tell you, and now I'm telling you.
Oh, you have. Listen, this is archived, honey. So it's out. Everybody knows.
Somewhere, somehow, in the universe, people are listening to this on another planet. That's what scares me.
Well, they will. It'll be Mars in about 5 years.
Whatever.
We know that.
Yeah.
What else are we looking at? I wanted to... talk about you interviewed Spielberg, Steven Spielberg
I did.
As well.
Yeah.
And that was pretty interesting.
I had two the first encounter, this was I was invited to the Directors Guild awards out here as
nice.
When I worked at KABC, the first station I worked at. And I'm sitting at a table and Steven was there for I forget what the movie was. It might have been might have been Color Purple and he didn't win. And he's at like a table near me. And he comes back and he's talking to someone, and my wife's nudging me, saying, "Hey, I've got to talk to Steven Spielberg." And I said, "Oh, Steven Spielberg! I can't talk to Steven Spielberg, for God's sake!" And finally, the guy who was talking to goes away, and I stand up and I say, "Oh, hi, Mr. Spielberg. You don't know who I am. I'm John Cork, and I do reviews at Channel 7. And I just want to know I'm a big fan. You should have won this for ET." And he says, "Oh yeah, you're the only critic I watch."
Wow.
I go, what?
How nice.
He says, yeah, I says, I used to double date with Christine Lund, who was our anchor then at KABC.
That's
so
right.
He watched KABC all the time,
my goodness.
And there I was.
Okay.
So I was, and then the other time was for some strange reason, I must have, again, being nice to the little people.
Right.
And for a while there during the Oscars, myself and two other people got to interview people as they left the Oscars and went to the governor's ball, which is the big thing they went to before they went to all the parties they wanted to go to. And sure enough, the night he won for Schindler's List, won
right.
Best Director and won Best Picture.
Exactly.
Out comes Spielberg. They go to me live. I've got Spielberg live. And I knew just from what I'd seen in the movie, and to turn serious for a moment, and probably may lose the audience, mm-hmm. but I don't care. I knew what it meant to him as a person who was Jewish, and it was an important picture, and he had postponed making it for 10 years till he felt he had matured as a filmmaker.
Right.
So I wasn't saying, oh, isn't it great to win an Oscar? Isn't it nice to win an Oscar?
Like everyone else was
no,
saying.
No, I asked him, I said, now I know this means a lot to you as a director, but mm-hmm. also tell me what it means to you as a person. And well, he went and he started talking, he teared up a little bit and all this stuff, and it went really well. And thank you very much. And yeah, so that things like that, you put up with a lot of garbage in the job and a lot of things you don't want to do, but things like that made it kind of worthwhile.
Right.
So I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great to meet him. What a brilliant man.
Oh,
and
yes.
had it not been for a shark that didn't work, we may never have heard of him, because when he did Jaws, the
right.
shark didn't work, so
right.
he sort of stumbled into making a great movie, which
right.
it probably would not have been if they'd had a little shark swimming around. So instead, between him and John Williams' music and stuff, I don't want to
mm-hmm.
get too far afield
no,
here,
no,
but
definitely.
Go see the movie, kids, if you have a chance. He made a great movie.
Yeah, he really did.
And
I mean,
as a result, it made a fortune,
exactly.
and it opened the doors for him, and
exactly.
one of the great talents.
Don't you think a lot of people behind the scenes, like Spielberg, I mean, literally behind the cameras, the writers, producers, they're more down-to-earth people than the folks in front of the camera.
And sometimes more neurotic. Barry Sonnenfeld, for example.
Well, there's an OCD component that you have to have, because you have to be organized and your thinking has
yeah.
to be. I mean, we're talking budgets here, and we're talking maintaining, you know, getting the script together, time. You have to be timely, and there's a lot of that.
Absolutely.
With writers and yep. Directors.
Yeah, there are different skill sets necessary for it, as you
well
said.
Well put,
and,
yes.
And producers have to have certain skills, and they can be the bad cop in many cases. They're the ones hammering the director to get it done on time.
Right.
And
right.
then there are guys like who learn the business, like Clint Eastwood, speaking of an intimidating character.
Yes.
Clint Eastwood, who, as an actor, learned how to direct. Yeah. And then became a director, and of course
right.
was a great director that people loved for a lot of reasons, including the fact that he respected actors, but also he didn't waste their time, he
right.
didn't waste anybody's time.
Right.
And guess what? He made a movie, maybe it didn't make a fortune, but he got to make another movie because he brought it on time, under budget, and he always made the movie that was going to be shot. And as a result, and the odd thing was, Mr. Conservative, you're a lucky bunk,
yeah.
ended up making
right.
some of the most liberal-oriented pictures ever made, The Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic film.
Mm-hmm.
Very anti-death and anti-violence
right.
movies. Brilliant talent. Amazing how skilled. And people
really
get pigeonholed sometimes in certain
exactly.
certain areas.
Well,
Leslie Nielsen,
do.
For example,
that's
for
right.
years was a dramatic actor. All of a sudden, he started making the airplane
the wacky
movies. The wacky
that's
movie.
Right.
Very talented.
And he's known as the wacky guy.
He is.
Who's really inappropriate.
Walks around with a F-A-R-T cushion.
That's right.
Funny man.
Yeah, he's a funny man, too, you said. So if there would be one or two couple of celebrities who you can think of, who you would really like to be real close pals with, who you would hang out with, because they seem to be really neat people.
Wow,
you
good
felt
question.
Really comfortable with.
Yeah.
Who might you say?
You know, it would probably be a film director. I think directors are the smartest people in show business
right.
that I've met, because mm-hmm. you can almost never trick them with a question.
Right.
They've thought about everything. The only time I fooled a director was Robert Zemeckis, who directed Back to the Future, and
right.
the question that tricked him was from my son.
How did you trick him?
Well, he'd seen the movie with me,
right?
And he gave me a question to ask him, and again, you wait till the end of the interview before he asks the trick question. I said, Bob, tell me, how does a flux capacitor work? Well, the flux capacitor was a key to the time machine.
Oh, right.
But
that's right.
He said, well, and you see the shadow come over. He says, it capacitates flux. He hadn't thought it, but that was the one question he hadn't really thought about.
Exactly.
So, but generally, directors are the most interesting people, I find.
All right.
Actors are the most neurotic, and writers are the craziest.
Well, we're online here and live. We have instant messaging capability. Of course.
Uh-oh.
We have Daryl, who's writing us a question. Dear John
Uh-oh.
And Dr. Michelle, why do you think so many actors have problems? It says DUIs. Overdoses, possible suicide issues, getting busted. Why are so many celebrities today so messed up?
Wow,
I kind of put
question.
That in code because he was a little more graphic.
Uh-oh. Yeah, yeah, I'm guessing what that word might be,
yeah.
But I won't use it. The only thing that you say, you don't, if you're a normal person,
yeah.
If you're a psychologically balanced person, you probably sell insurance. And I'm not doing that to disparage
That's
people.
Not true.
No?
No.
They're crazy people?
Mm.
Didn't know that. you'd know better than I. No, but I say you get a normal line of work.
I know what you're
people
saying.
People in
yes,
the entertainment
exactly.
industry, in many cases, they come from a bizarre background.
Exactly.
And they use it as an outlet. So
right.
as a result, some of them aren't well-grounded. Some very well. For example, Ron Howard, the director.
Right.
Actor, he was
yeah.
he was a child actor
mm-hmm.
and became a wonderful director,
mm-hmm.
Oscar-winning director.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very normal, grounded childhood. His father was a military man. His parents were married, and he had a normal childhood. He ended up very well-balanced, still is balanced, as far as I know.
Right.
But in many cases, sometimes they come from broken families. They come from odd backgrounds. They act out. In other cases, if they're successful, all of a sudden, they're treated like gods. People
exactly.
will not say no to them.
Right.
It's sort of like same thing with athletes. They
right.
just don't. People are not around to say no. And they, as a result, they think they can get away with everything. And in many cases, they do get away with murder.
Right, exactly.
So,
well, that's a great explanation and probably a little deeper than I was going to say. Because like we mentioned a little earlier, there's self-esteem issues going on,
yep.
lack of self-esteem from
yeah.
possibly being a child actor and being
kowtowed
to all the time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a lot of rejection. And, you know, it would be easy to take it on personally. I really can get that. But also, I would think the kind of personality that would want to be out there and have accolades all the time, like that famous line, that Sally said, "You love me. You really love me."
Absolutely.
I mean, that is the epitome
yeah.
of the actor's psyche in many cases. I'm not saying in all cases and generalized, but, you know, it's that frame of mind going into I kind of need to put it out there. And then there are the people like you said, like De Niro, or we didn't talk about Pacino, but we're going to have to wrap up here, but who are, you know, they're playing another character, and that's how they're more comfortable,
yeah.
is because they're playing another character.
And some of them, for example, Daniel Day-Lewis, who just won the
right.
Academy Award
right,
for
right.
There Will Be Blood,
right.
was a case where he is in character during the shooting. And
right.
you approach him in character, and you talk to him, and he's in that character.
Exactly.
That's his process. That's the way
that's
it works.
That's exactly right.
It works for him. Other people, the instant the camera's off, they're back to normal.
Well, John Corcoran, thank you so much for being
oh,
my guest today.
Oh, it's flown by.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the couch. It's
good
so nice
Lord,
to have you here.
That was quick.
By the way, John
You're a
has,
wonderful interviewer, by
Thank
the way.
You. I just listen. You've taken the whole show today, and thank you.
We do what we can, but you're a good, good interviewer.
Thank you,
And a
sir.
Nice human being. And
thank
I want
you.
To get a couch just like this.
Good. All right. I'll tell you where you can get a deal. John Corcoran, 7 Emmys he's won during his career as a TV entertainment reporter, critic in Washington, D.C., Boston, Hollywood, author and playwright. We've been talking about his book, A Few Marbles Left, which is appropriate for Dr. Michelle's On the Couch, looking at TV news and experiences doing movie junkets, interviewing all those celebrities. You had great stories today. Thank you so much, John.
Always a pleasure,
for filling
anytime.
Us with those great stories. And let us give your website again. It's gadabout, G-A-D-A-B-O-U-T dot blogs. Wait,
Blogspot, spelled like it sounds,
blogspot.com. And of course, nice, well said, darling. And of course, you can always reach me, Dr. Michelle, on my website, drmichelle therapy, Dr. Michelle Therapy. You don't know how to spell therapy, therapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Please, write me. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for being on the couch, John.
My pleasure.
We'll
love your couch.
Great. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., we'll be on the couch again. It's Dr. Michelle. Have a wonderful day.